Our first reading today is from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 2. And in this, the chapter is entitled Israel Punished and Restored. And the language used speaks of the people and kingdom of Israel in a feminine entity. Verse 14. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. Whakarongu ki te kupu a te wairā ki te hāhi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Kupu ki a tātou. And our gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazarene in Galilee. Te ronga pai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ the Lord.
Thanks, Sarah. Good morning, everybody. Boomy on that one. Just move this for a second. I'm going to start differently than I had prepared. So you don't think I prepare anything because I just get up here and ramble on, don't I? No notes or anything. I just had this feeling during our worship. You know that song, I just speak the name of Jesus, and then that one, come thou fount, tune my heart. You know, and that beautiful refrain that they've added onto it. It's just the image that I kind of had in my head is, what would it be like, do you think, for Jesus? Can you imagine what it would be like for Jesus to enter into Waikanae and for everyone to kind of become aligned in that moment with the purposes of the kingdom of God? Like, what would that transformation experience for our community be like? It'd be incredible, wouldn't it? It's so interesting sometimes. I get glimpses of it every so often where... like I'm on the Waikanae Facebook page, and sometimes you get Facebook posts that are just so much kind of people running their own agendas, or people saying, you know, someone graffitied this or broke this or set fire to this or whatever it is, and you're like, ah, you know? And then other times you get these beautiful stories of people reaching out to their neighbour and doing something amazing. Or someone giving something away generously. Or someone, you know, have you seen those stories? They kind of pop up around about the place. And the image that popped into my mind, and it's a cool image, and it's a cool picture to actually have, because it came on our Lenten journey, was many of you were at the high tea afternoon. Just throw up your hand if you were at the high tea. Yeah, there was a bunch of you through. And what I loved about it was I recognised probably about a third of the people from church, but it was a whole lot of people from the wider community all coming into this garden. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Linda. All coming into this garden on a beautiful day because everyone could get on board with the idea of feeding the most vulnerable in our community. It was a fundraiser for Food Share. And it was just one of those occasions where it's like everyone got on the same page with God, you know, regardless of whether they were churchgoers or not. And the church was leading the way as a witness, which I just think is awesome. So that's just by the by, it was just one of those moments that I just kind of connected up in worship. I was like, that's what it might look like for the kingdom of God to come through our community here. But unfortunately, as I say, so much in any community, we have all sorts of agendas going on, and it doesn't take much. It only takes our perception to be just a little bit off from what God's trying to do to end up with completely the wrong idea of what God is doing. And I think Palm Sunday is quite a good example of that. So the people of God at the time, they have a problem. They have like a round hole problem, if you like, where they are occupied. They are oppressed as part of the Roman Empire. But they are holding on to this hope because their scriptures talk about God sending a Messiah, a Saviour who will set them free from oppression, a king even, who will establish that kingdom, that golden age back when Israel had a king called David. And they're going to go back to that golden age, and it's going to be re-established. And then this king, when he comes, is going to set them free with his power, set them free to be the people that they've always been called to be by God. And it's going to be an amazing time. They're going to be raised up again, and it's going to be awesome. And so along comes Jesus, who is a bit of a square peg for their round hole problem. And they go, this fits. And you can kind of see why they do. Because, you know, here he comes riding on a donkey, just as the prophet had said. They throw down their cloaks, just as you would on the street for a king. They even start singing their psalms of praise for the king. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And it's so close. But it's just a little bit out, and they get it completely wrong. Because, yes, Jesus is a king. He is actually in the line of David, but he's not coming to establish an earthly kingdom. He keeps talking about the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. But they can't see it right now. They just think, great, great, he's coming to establish a kingdom. Just feeds into their perception. He is the Messiah, but he's not coming to save them from the Roman Empire. He's coming to set them free from sin and death. So close, but not quite. And he is coming to lead them into a new life, but not one that's based upon kind of power and prestige and privilege. New life is going to come by laying down his life and calling his followers to do the same. So close, isn't it? You can see why it's so close, and yet it doesn't quite fit. And it doesn't take much for our perception just to be a little bit out to get the wrong end of the stick of what God's trying to do. We've been on a Lent journey. Today is the last Sunday in Lent. We wrap up Lent today. But we've been on a Lent journey, and we're right back where we started. You might remember I was preaching here just before Lent began, and we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and I just talked about how different the worldview of God is from the worldview around us, and how so often we just need to keep tuning ourselves in, realigning ourselves with the worldview of God. Because it doesn't take much, does it? There's like a nautical kind of analogy, which I quite like, where if you were sailing like this, and yet your compass is only 2 degrees off, you don't notice much for a while, do you? You just sail along, you sail along, you sail along through life, sail along through life, sail along. Until at some point, you pause and you reflect, and you think, how did I end up over here? I'm pretty sure we've all done it. Where suddenly you go, I'm a long way away from God. I feel a long way off from God. How did I get so out of alignment?
There's a proverb that I shared with the Thursday congregation, which they quite liked, and I had to try and write it down, so I'll say it slowly. But you've probably heard it before. It's this: be mindful of our thoughts, because our thoughts shape our words. Let's be mindful of our words, because our words shape our actions. And be mindful of your actions, because your actions form habits. Be mindful of your habits, because your habits shape your character. And be mindful of your character, because your character shapes your destiny. And so it is that when we started this Lent journey, we said, now is a time to reflect and actually to repent. To realize that there are things that we have been doing that have been kind of just slightly leading us off in the wrong direction. And now is the time to repent and turn away from those things and come back into alignment with God. And so the thing that we often talk about over Lent, we talk about spiritual practices. On Ash Wednesday, Jesus talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting, he talks about cultivating generosity. And I talked the week before that about scripture. Not that, you know, me and Jesus are kind of somehow, you know, but we've been talking about spiritual practices. Because those are the practices that step by step bring us back into alignment. And so we've had the season of Lent, and our theme has been journeying into the desert with God, with the desert mothers and fathers, if you're following the Lectio 365, which personally I found amazing. I found really good. Somewhat tough sometimes, but really good. And just feeling that coming back into alignment is good. And so I have three questions that I've kind of been asking people as I go through this, as I meet with people during Lent, and I'm going to add a sneaky fourth one today because we're at the end of Lent. So think about these three questions. When you started the Lent journey, whether it was Ash Wednesday or the first Sunday in Lent, what were you hoping would happen on that journey? Second question, what were the spiritual practices that you decided to take up for this time? And thirdly, what were the fruit of those? What have you noticed in your life as you've been engaging in those spiritual practices? If you did something like give up caffeine for Lent, what you probably noticed for the first 3 weeks was crankiness. But hopefully, you're noticing something new now. And here's the sneaky fourth question. Now that we're finishing Lent is, how do you want to continue journeying from here? Have you learnt something along the way that you want to continue? Maybe. And here's what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and share the peace. And as you move around, shaking hands and sharing the peace with one another, you're going to find someone who looks interesting. Like Pete. Pete looks interesting. Just look at him. Yep. That's interesting. So you can find someone interesting, and you can, then I want you to grab a moment to just, we're going to sit down for 6 minutes, and you're going to have a little bit of time to go, so what did you hope for as we journeyed into the desert for Lent? What practices did you take up? What were the fruit that you noticed? And how you think you're going to go after this? All right, let's stand. The peace of Christ be always with you. I invite you to share a sign of the Lord's peace with those around you, and then you can find someone interesting. All right, everyone, find someone that looks interesting. And you've got four questions to cover in 3 minutes each. Once you're... See. Okay, you've got one more minute. One more minute. Say thank you to the person that you found and go and find a seat. Come and find a seat. All right, find your seat. There we go. Oh. All right, here we go. Flat tire. Works for children, works for adults. Excellent. Yeah, fantastic. All right, just to let you know that was part one of the sermon, so get comfortable. I'm going to hand out in a moment, and in fact, as I talk about this, we might as well get started. Can you hand those out and take those back and hand out those?
Yeah.
Pass it back. Yes, so that's what I mean. Take one, pass it on. Now, what we're passing out now are palm crosses. And for me, early in my Christian faith, these became an amazing symbol of my journey with God year by year. And so I'd start by getting one of those on Palm Sunday. And then I would stick it up, pin it up on the wall next to my bed, and then over the years it would end up looking like that. And so I'd end up with, you know, like three of them or something, and I'd be like, wow, I've been walking with Jesus for 3 years, or next year I've been walking with Jesus for 4 years, or I've been walking with Jesus for 5 years. And I found them really, really helpful in marking that time. But today what I want us to do is just to hold these crosses for a moment, because we've got a Holy Week coming up ahead of us. And what I noticed again early on in my faith, it's really easy to do Palm Sunday, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and then just jump across to next Sunday, which is Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, woo! And for a pretty positive, optimistic extrovert like me, that was fine. But no, but life's not like that, is it? There is a whole journey that we go through in Holy Week. And I'd just like to encourage you to think about how you are going to mark that journey. There are ways, obviously, we do it as a church. There's chapel services every morning during Holy Week. There's an incredible all-age interactive outdoor service up at St. Andrew's on Good Friday. There is Stations of the Cross down at St. Michael's also on Friday. But you might decide, too, that you're going to do the journey in some way for yourself, either just do the readings each day or gather your family for hot cross buns on Friday and maybe read the Passion story together. Whatever it is, be intentional. Take that journey with God. And take this with you. Just holding the cross in front of us, because it's through this, through the cross, that we end up in the fullness of celebration on our Easter Sunday. But just before the worship team comes, I wanted to just touch base with our Old Testament reading, just briefly, because I've never got to preach on Hosea before. So interesting. I was like, oh, never preached on this. But the verse actually really captured my heart in some way. There was the sense for me, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but there's the sense for me of God just wanting to woo people back into relationship with him. Because Hosea starts off, the people of God have got out of alignment with God. It started off just 2 degrees off, but then as they've journeyed through, they've become a long way distance, and that's had some terrible consequences for their communities. Just like it does for us as individuals when we find ourselves a long way off from God. But then we came to today's verses, and I just want to read them again in a personal way for you, just so you get that sense of God's love for you and God's proactiveness in drawing you in, luring you in, wooing you home. And you might like to just have this cross as a focus in your hand as I read these scriptures for you now. As I do, actually, can the worship team just come up, because we'll just move in straight into worship from there. So those verses again that we heard this morning. Therefore, I am going to draw you home. I will lead you into the desert and speak tenderly to you. There I will give you back the vineyards that have been broken. I will make the darkest valley a doorway of hope. There you will sing as in the days of your youth, as in the day when you first knew the salvation of the Lord. Let me read that again. Now I'm going to allure you. I'm going to draw you home. I will lead you into the desert, and I will speak tenderly to you there. I will give you back the vineyards that were broken down. I will make the darkest valley a doorway for hope. There, you will sing as in the days of your youth, as in the day when you first received the salvation of God. Holding our crosses, shall we stand as we sang in our youth, as we did when we first experienced the salvation of the Lord?
Yeah. Wash me.